enchanted infant once born into this world. He was, they say, so ancient that nothing created came before him. Yet his birth into this world was attended by all the frailty and helplessness of any man-child. His coming had been foretold by prophets and longed for by loyal hearts because it would establish peace and unity for mankind. Kingdoms and peoples and nations would put themselves under his gracious rule, which would be marked by a transcendent goodness and justice never before known. But his coming was hated by others. It became indeed an occasion for the horrible spilling of blood. As he advanced in years, he fulfilled what had been foretold of him, but not in the exact way that many had expected. He cloaked his majesty in humility, his might in meekness. He seemed at times the very opposite of a king or a conqueror, yet he was both. Eventually, his enemies seemed to gain the upper hand, and after conspiracies and betrayals, he was captured, tormented, and murdered. But then something happened that was foreseen yet unexpected, and it changed everything. It's a wonderful story, is it not? Thankfully, its veracity does not in the least detract from its beauty as a story. So, Brother begins his Ad Rem with the story of the Christ child. Let me add something else to the narrative that Brother didn't include. Prior to our Lord coming into this world, Beelzebub and the boys, fresh from victory at the fall, were pretty much in charge. Remember, at the time of the arrival of Jesus of Nazareth as a child, what were the people to whom this child was to be born as their king? What were they often referred to as? Your time starts now, Roger. Best of luck. What were they called? The Israelites. His chosen people. So even after he wiped out nearly the entire human race with a flood, left it up to the family of Noah to repopulate the earth, and they did. So after the real great reset, how do you like that? There was a great reset. It was Noah and the flood. After the great reset, original sin was still there, and men went off to all corners of the world, and all the pagan religions of the world were thus formed. They did not have revealed truth. If they had any, they didn't act upon it. So who was running the show? Beelzebub and the boys. This thing that you and I have today that we call marriage, they had something that resembled it, but it did not require monogamy. If it did require any form of a legal blessing, it was breakable by men. Men could break and go like, well, I'm not happy with her. She got fat. Well, dude, she gave you 4 kids. I know, but she got fat. But look at that one over there. Every single thing that we rely upon as part of the Christian world of Christianity and the Christendom which we take for granted and we live in, almost all of it did not exist in the ancient pre-Christ world. This is something that is taken for granted. You got to wrap your head around this. So that's why I started with the easy one, family and marriage. It was only after Christ admonished the Jews who tried to trick him. They were like, well, what should we do with this woman? What should we do with this woman who wants to, this divorce here? This woman who this man wants to put away. Remember, the evil Pharisees were trying to trick our Lord. And what is his answer today, we still live with today? Well, did he say yes in front of God? Well, then he can't get rid of her. Can't put her away. I mean, look, we have this as teaching in Christianity today. We take it for granted. That did not exist. The reason the Pharisees tried to trick him on that is because that's what they and many like them were practicing at the time. So the family life, just one small thing was changed by the Holy Family living by example and by our Lord proclaiming, no, you can't put your wife away because you feel like it. You make that vow in front of me? What is so funny, Mrs. O'Connell? My goodness. Telling one hell of a story in here. Yeah, but I want to know what story is making you laugh. Let me in on it. So the point being, the post-Christ world is a world with him in it. The one these people today that control the meta-narrative of is one that doesn't have him in it. And as I've been saying for years, you're not going to like live. You ain't. Look, I think the atheists are keenly aware of this. I don't think the atheists would oppose what I'm saying. The agnostics and those that are thrown in with the cult and the religion that is COVID and science and scientism and health and doctor and doctorism and pharmaceuticalism and all of the other fakeism and, ooh, there's an app for that digital technology is going, or God is going to save us. You know that today that the vaccines, quote, vaccines, close quote, are presented in place of, they are a placebo, a fake, pathetic, weak, insignificant placebo, or they come in place of the real salvation, which is difficult, must be worked at. Can't go to a store and buy it. You actually have to do it. Yeah, but we's Americans, or we're Europeans. We don't want to have to do it. We don't want to have to work at it. That's right. That's it. That's the plan. You see, their salvation, all it requires is your submission. All you have to do is say yes to Mammon and his little needle and his little jab. That's all you got to do. Just say yes. It's going to be so easy. We're going to give you everything. You'll owe nothing and you'll be happy. You'll never get Omicron or the 964th variant 2 years from now either. And unlike them over there, you get to fully participate in our digital, wonderful waiter, DoorDash society. It's a, I gave you the wrong word. It is an ersatz salvation. They will die the death, those that follow it. I don't know how they're going to be judged. We have pretty good indication that it's not going to go well for them. So I think that this Christmas, maybe we should all go back to kind of square A. Go back to the beginning, to the origins. What was it like? Why was it so important for this Messiah to come into the world? Why don't we ever ask ourselves that question? Well, what was it like before he came in? Wasn't like this. I've told the story before when the Romans who were sent to go colonize and settle England, when they got there, what did they find on the island? Children? What did they find on the island? Did they find a bunch of peaceful pygmies meandering about who welcomed them with open arms, cooked meals for them, and showed them how to kill their own, which beasts to eat, which not, which plants to eat, which would poison them? They found what they called the Picts, P-I-C-S, the Picts. Who were the Picts? Cannibals. Godless cannibals. I told a story the other day. They were so dangerous and so lustful for human flesh that Emperor Hadrian said, dude, build a wall. Because the Roman legions were like, there are tens and tens and thousands, so we can't kill them all. We can't get rid of them. They're everywhere. So they had a war. They drove them past a certain point. Hadrian built a wall so that the Picts would be isolated. Ultimately, the Picts, many of them were converted by St. Patrick. The ones that weren't, were killed off by war and ultimately faded away. They were gone. That was the world that Christ came into. You know, it's a sad but true statement that our best priests don't even give that as part of their sermons and their homilies. They don't remind us. Why were men so anxious to get this Messiah? Now, remember, the Jews thought they were getting a king that would help them beat the Romans and kick the Romans out of their land. They didn't think they were actually getting a Old Testament, New Testament, you know, this new way of living that if you follow this Messiah, dude, then you get everlasting life and what have you. That's not what they expected. So back to the, again, maybe it's important to understand why the Messiah was needed as we were just 2 days away from Christmas. Now, stepping outside the genre of storytelling, writes Brother, we can speak of Jesus Christ with great dogmatic precision in the words of the Athanasian Creed. Thus, the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is both God and man. As God, he was begotten of the substance of the Father before time. As man, he was born in time of the substance of his mother. He is perfect God. He is perfect man with a rational soul and human flesh. He is equal to the Father in his divinity, but inferior to the Father in his humanity. It's the Athanasius Creed. The story and the creed are two very different approaches, but which came first? When the Son of God became man, he who was eternal entered time and became a subject of history, becoming thereby the protagonist of an amazing story. One no less amazing for its being completely true. Before the dogma of the incarnation could be grasped at all by the human intellect, as in the wonderful creed we just quoted, the story had to be told. Indeed, the story of Jesus Christ, the narrative of the gospel, had to be told even before the more fundamental doctrine of the Trinity could be known. It was in the midst of that very story that the Trinity was revealed in the baptism in the Jordan River, the transfiguration and the sending of the apostles to baptize all nations. God gives us the truth of divine revelation in a narrative before he gives it to us in doctrinal formulae. Even the law of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, narrates history, including the only inspired account of creation of the world. In telling that story, God imparts fundamental doctrine to us, which is why those of us that are true believers, we do not second guess. We do not question whether or not Genesis is history, because it is. Were it not, then our Lord would have told us, and he had the opportunity to.